Jerry, tell us a little bit about what some of your early memories are about the library.
Well, I was born in 1944 and from in Portland at the old St. Vincent's, which is no more. And at age six, my parents moved to St. John's. So from that age until through college, I lived on North Tyler, and was a family routine that we went to the St. John's Library, which is on North Charleston, every week, my brother, sister, and I. We would either bicycle or walk from our house on North Tyler, very close to Lombard, and go over to Charleston, which was right next to the YWCA. I don't know if it's still there or not, but we visited the St. John's Library, which was an old Carnegie building, brick. And my vivid memories are of many, many windows being around and sunlight coming in, and then wood shelves all around. And it was always a peaceful place. So there was always sunlight in it, and there was the smell of wood. And I could, to this day, lead you to where the children's section was in that library. Because we would, I think my sister, brother, and I went through every single book in that section. Of course, it was before nearly as many books were published as are now for children, and young adult section was completely unknown then. But anyway, it was a family, it was a regular thing for us to go to the St. John's Library every week. And my sister recalled, and I don't remember it, but she thought that there was a limit to how many books we could take out. And I think she was right, that she recalled that it was 5 books per week. So we would take the maximum allowed and then go back the next week and replace them.
And would you walk and bike alone or with one of your parents? Or
no, my recollection is going alone, either with my sister and brother, or certainly I don't remember going with my parents. So it was something that we did on our own.
Oh, wow, wonderful.
So we would go from North Tyler down to Central and across over to Charleston, right by the St. James John grade school, and bicycle over or walk there.
And then your neighborhood library today is very close to that library.
Yes, it actually, I did, I moved away from my hometown, my home house, all of probably 5 or 6 miles, and currently live just east of I-5, one block off of Lombard, sort of like what I did when I was growing up. And I go alternatively to the Kenton Library here, and or the North Portland branch right by Jefferson High School. I used to work over in the Hollywood area and actually spent a good deal of time in the Hollywood Library, both the old library and the new library, when I was working in that area, and that was my library of choice. But when they opened the Kenton Library, which was very recent, I thought, I'm coming here. And it's a beautiful neighborhood library. I love it. You know, for being a new space, it immediately started being used by all kinds of people, young families. I just love to see little children come in. And then, of course, all the people that are using the computer terminals. So it's a heavily used space. But this is my neighborhood library, yes.
Are there distinct differences that you notice over that course of time with the library?
Yes. Many distinct differences. When we first went, it was only books that I remember, books and magazines. In fact, my brother's memory, which I'll get to later because I'll just want to give his, but he remembers a lot going through all the magazines because we didn't have National Geographic and Field and Stream and those kinds of things. And he really enjoyed reading the magazines. I remember 2 branches from my childhood, the St. John's Library that I told you about, and then taking the bus down to the Central Library. Mm. So my recollection of the Central Library, my memory is the Dewey Decimal System and all those wooden containers with the little cards in them, and how I would pore over those cards because any time we did a research project for a term paper, we went down to the Central Library, and that was where we got our information. And so it was always taking a bus from St. John's downtown, and then spending a lot of time in that middle area on that second floor, and going through the Dewey Decimal. And I'm sorry they don't have Dewey Decimal featured anymore for people to learn it, because it really is, I think, a way for people to understand outlining, you know, sort of logical approaches to how you divide concepts. So I'm always grateful that we studied the Dewey Decimal System and used the Dewey Decimal System in my youth. So I remember that, and then of course going off to the different areas and then finding those books and oftentimes just reading them there and writing them down, you know, be way before computers, writing them so we could quote them in term papers.
I agree, that whole process, it was also very tactile, that process,
yes,
of stumbling through titles, mm-hmm, and then seeing that other subjects were referenced and piquing an interest in something else that,
correct,
you didn't realize was related. I totally
exactly
agree.
It's true.
It's one of the things we lose,
yeah,
with the electronic.
In fact,
mode.
I should read about whoever Dewey was that did that because I mean it's really superb. The other thing I remember about the downtown library is the music area, because I'm a musician,
huh,
so I. That was where I first was able to listen to a lot of music, and that was, at that point, it was all records. So they had gigantic things of records there, and they had little individual listening rooms. I don't know if any of you remember that, but upstairs there were tiny little booths that you could go in with an earphone or whatever, and you could sit and listen to a symphony or whatever music that you were interested in and return it. And then, of course, we could check out the records also, and that was another way of learning, being exposed to more music. At that point, there was nothing. I'm classically trained, and my parents are both interested in classical music. There were no classical music stations. There were, you know, NPR wasn't around then. And there were no radio stations that carry classical music, so that was how we got acquainted with it. And we did not have a lot of money. My mom had stayed at home to take care of the children, so it was we got by as best we could. We could not go out and purchase our own records. So sitting and listening in the music area was that was another wonderful thing that I'm sure those little rooms are long since gone. Up there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's even a listening area anymore down there.
Well, I could walk over to where I used to.
Yeah.
Still,
was
to
it
this
on the
day.
Was it on
I
the first
should. Third?
Was it on the
third
floor?
Floor. Yeah, upstairs. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Way upstairs.
Okay. Neat. Yeah. Wow. So you said you had some memories of family members. So you did some,
yes,
some talking with your brothers and sisters.
Email. You know.
Good.
The computer age, right?
Whoopsie daisy.
So I emailed my brother, who now lives in Spokane, and he said, "I'm the eldest." So my brother was the youngest. Mostly, my memories center around the encouragement we received from mom and dad to go to the library. Mom made sure we got there and that we always had lots to read. I do remember the peace and quiet of the building. I also remember that I read nearly every book in the children's section when I was younger. Then I read nearly every book there on World War II, particularly the North Africa campaigns. I can visualize the interior to this day, large, open, quiet, well lit, thousands of books, exclamation marks.
Mm-hmm.
I also love to read the countless magazines there, from Boy's Life to National Geographic to Field and Stream. So that's my brother's memories. And my sister, and this is, I think, so fascinating. She says, "All I remember is the smell, always the same. Must have been the smell of books. I loved riding our bikes over every week. I think there was a limit of 5 books, not sure, per week. Just always such a joyful experience. I still would know exactly how to get there." So it was, And then I wrote down my memories. I remember going every week, the wooden shelves. I could go to exactly the area where the children's books were. All the windows, the peace in the library, so quiet. The kindness of the librarian. There was an older woman who was there our whole childhood. I can't remember her name, but she was superb. She knew how to deal with children. So an older woman who was probably an old maid, very kindly to us. The library was on North Charleston next to the YWCA, an old Carnegie building. I remember reading every book in the children's section. And then I have my memories of the downtown library. I remember going there on the bus from St. John's, the Dewey Decimal boxes that took the entire area, open area of the second floor. And on the third floor, the music area where there were individual rooms to listen to records. It was in those rooms where I heard some of the first bits of music that I'd never heard before. This was way before classical music on the radio, and we did not have a television at home. My father hated TV. We would check out a record, which I used to do also, and I remember the first time the library had VHSs, movies. It was in a small room in the back of the first floor by the elevator, a tiny thing, maybe no bigger than this room. To have something other than books in the library. Of course, there were the records. Anyway, it was a change for me. Uh-huh. And I remember going there and being excited that they had them. Anyway, the Multnomah County Library has been a constant for me in my whole life. And each building gave an enjoyable experience. Now, I search for books mostly on my computer, and I spend very little time, actually, in the building. Most of my time in a building is at the North Portland branch over on Killingsworth, where I belong to a book group. And we have monthly meetings there, and I know Patricia, the librarian, and have gained friendships through that book group and love doing that. So that's what I've written on my memories of the library.
So it sounds like one of the big shifts is that it's less of a physical presence than an online source or resource for you.
Right. I used to spend hours in the building, actually doing research.
Uh-huh.
And reading and searching for books. And I remember the first time that they did the librarian pick section in the Central Library and how much I enjoyed that and appreciated their helpfulness in exposing us to new novels and things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then special day they have now where, a popular book that you have to be 150 people out to get, is suddenly on the shelf if you show up. And
right. Well, the fact that you can search on computers and be on hold is a wonderful system. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's absolutely superb. I don't know how we got anything, I don't know that popular fiction was around. I don't know what process the librarians could have used before computers, but the shift to computers, and I think the way it has been incorporated into the library as a whole is a major shift, and I think it's a very helpful thing for people to have access in their local library. I mean, that's just a major shift from mm-hmm. when I was young.
Yeah, particularly for people who can't make it to
right.
the library.
Yeah, I remember watching Apollo. What was the movie about the first
Apollo
missile
13.
That went to the moon? Oh, yeah. And when they were having difficulty taking the capsule back, and all the people at NASA with their slide rules, because this was before computers. So I've got to get that movie again and take a look at it. I mean, it's hard. I mean, I'm sure that kids these days have no way of visualizing how life even occurred before computers
mm-hmm.
because it's such not invasive, but it's prevalent in all aspects of our lives.
Yeah, it's funny with my kids because I have to really push them to actually go and spend time in the library. And I always say, but, it's like when you're looking at the books, it's just different. It's like online's different, and it has its advantages because you can pinpoint, but the shelves have the advantage of the sort of randomness of it, of the book that's next to the book that you're picking. And I think, it's a wonderful balance at this point.
You know, you speak of something that I probably should mention, that all the people of my age, and I'm 70, love books. There's something about the printed format that is really precious to us, and I think that's going to be lost. I think that young kids are so exposed to screens that they're very used to it. That is their medium of getting knowledge, and that is a very big change from when I was younger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it sounds like you still go for your book group.
I go to the library all the time. I currently have 30 books out from the library. And I have 4 on hold that I'm going to pick up after the interview. No, I love the search machine with the library, and I've seen it through I've seen it through all its phases. And in fact, there was just a new change this morning when I checked, because I was trying to figure out if one of my holds had expired before I was able to come. And so now, when I go onto my library card, it says immediately how many books I have, and for the hold books, how many are ready to be picked up immediately. So it's constantly being improved, and you just can't do better than that, you know. And so when I read a book review that sounds interesting, or someone mentions a book, I go to the library website and I immediately check to see if it's in the system. And then if it isn't, you know, the fact that I'm allowed to suggest a book that they might want to consider adding, that's superb. That's really interactive. That's maximizing, the public's input. I just really think the computerization is superb. But of course, the fallout is that I basically come here and pick up books and return books. Mm-hmm. So I spend 5 minutes for all of my always constantly having something like 30 books in my house in the library. I spend zip time, which is really maybe too bad. In fact, I never search in the library, because I've already done all my searching on computer,
right?
Or just noting the things that I think would be of interest to read.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So, is there anything that you would love to see in the library, or that you don't see, or is there anything you'd want to share with somebody that they might not know about the library?
I can't. I love the fact that the libraries still are pretty quiet. I think that's a really important atmosphere to have. Because when you're looking for knowledge, I think quiet is really needed. And I speak as a musician. I make noise. That's what I do. But the more experience, of course, I'm a church musician. The more experience I have in making music, the more I appreciate silence. Because what is happening is that we have so little of it in our life. You know, even when you're shopping now in stores, there can be this ambient music that supposedly makes you more open to purchasing things, or elevator music, as they call.
Yes.
And I think a quiet atmosphere in the library, maintaining that, is really, really important. Now, I know there are children's activities which are lovely, and I'm really happy that they happen. But I think doing the quiet is really superb. I'm sorry that downtown library has so many street people around, you know, and I understand that they are, and I speak as a person that's been involved in social work. I've been a citizen participation neighborhood coordinator, so I know the issues with street people. But I think the downtown library is doing pretty good on that. It's a tough row to hoe for them. Keeping the balance is what I have found in working with neighborhoods. Keeping the balance, in other words, making sure that people have a basic sense of feel of safety in coming into an area is really important. So I think they're doing pretty good on that, but it's hard to deal with the social needs these days. That's a big shift in the downtown library, a big change from when I was there. People didn't really use those beautiful little benches around the downtown library space, and now they're used a lot by people that there. Obviously, I still go to the downtown library. I go to the library down there mostly these days to pick up music, because if I'm asked to do a wedding or a funeral, and they'll ask for specific music that is not in my collection. you know, they want a more popular song or something like that, and then I'm able to call to access the sheet music division. And maybe I need to speak on that. I know that there's been some culling of the music manuscripts that are in the main library, and that concerns me. That it's such a superb collection of all varied kinds of sheet music, from symphonic music to strings to piano to, I mean, just everything, and you know, jazz and classical. I mean, the whole spectrum, and I'm really grateful that it's there. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful. Although if I might speak as a musician, it's the one aspect that the computer has not been helpful in, and that is being able to access over the phone or through computer a level of difficulty in the music. There are sometimes when I want to have a piano piece that is complex. I don't want to have the simple version. I don't want to have, you know, just simple little chords. I want something that says something. And for that, I almost have to go down and look at it. And when you phone in to try to get help to do that, we're not allowed to talk to the music librarian anymore. And that is an access that I miss.
Huh. And it's not categorized according to level of difficulty.
And it's not very well, from my view, subcategorized when there's a collection of, say, jazz of the 30s by individual title for what's in the collection. So that is an area where you really need to go down and visually look at it and take a look at how it's arranged.
When you say culling, what do you mean? They're pulling music that you would like
selling.
To see stay.
Yeah, they're selling off. They're creating more space in the stacks.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So where is that room downtown?
It's up on the third floor.
It's still in the same place.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't think I ever realized they had sheet music down there. Isn't that funny?
Wonderful collection.
Uh-huh.
And I'm an organist, and a friend of mine died, and he left a whole organ library to the Multnomah County Library, and I checked some of them out, and I'm really happy it's there.
Uh-huh.
You know, some pieces that I just don't have in my own collection.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's a treasure. Oh, and it's something else that they do occasionally. I've gone to a couple of concerts there on the third floor, and I love attending classical concerts, and I think it's a wonderful thing that the library offers, as well as the exhibits up on the third floor in that common area.
Mm-hmm.
There are some, like, book publishers, and then a calligraphy exhibit that was just gorgeous. I mean, we've got such wonderful people here in our community that have this artistic way of doing things, and it's lovely to share that with us.
And you just find out about that when you're online. Interesting.
Nice. And there used to be, and I don't know if there still is, I can't remember, every time you walked into the library, you know, that beautiful run of steps that goes to the second floor, and at that landing there always used to be a gorgeous bouquet of flowers. I remember that. Do people still remember that? I remember that. It's as just very classic and just lovely. Just a lovely statement.
Yeah, the space and how it welcomes you is so important.
Yeah, the building is just superb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the whole Carnegie Library building concept. I consider that one of the best philanthropic ventures that anyone has ever done. And in fact, I've told people when I'm retired, which I'm never going to be because I've never made enough money that I can do it, but I would have loved to go around in a car or a van and visit the Carnegie sites and write a little bit about their history and talk about what they are now. And I got this idea when I was in Baker City. I had a boyfriend then who lived in Baker City, and there was a lovely art gallery in Baker City. It was the old Carnegie Library. And what's happened is buildings have expanded. You know, the needs have been there for them to get larger space, so they have moved away from the Carnegie Libraries. But the fact that they were there when they were there to allow a start of a library system, I think is so important. And they were such beautiful buildings, all of them that I have seen, those old Carnegie buildings, classical in their architecture, and allowed a lot of light to come in, so the reading was easy. And I think the whole approach, the whole introduction of to young children of books and what you do with books was so good, so welcoming.
Yeah, it's funny because I should have known this at the beginning, but I didn't, that the Portland Public Library is like the oldest library west of the Mississippi.
Is it?
And I didn't know that. And I said to my kids, oh my God, I mean, I don't know that they understand the implications of that, but when you think about Portland was developed a lot later than a lot of other places, but here it has the oldest library.
When I was neighborhood coordinator in Northwest, we moved from 23rd Avenue down to the Northwest Cultural Center it is now, and that was the first Christian Science Church west of the Mississippi.
Interesting.
Over on Everett between 18th and 19th in Northwest Portland. So that was a Christian Science. In fact, I have one of their old Bibles from there. And there was a wonderful organ in the auditorium there. We're a very historic place. Portland.
Yeah, and now one of the largest, library systems.
Oh,
it's incredible.
I'm really proud of it. I know other people are very proud of it. It's a beautiful system.
Yeah. Well, is there anything you'd like to share that you?
Well, I think the Multnomah County Library is one of the absolute riches of the Portland, Oregon area. It's adjusted to shifts in our society very beautifully, and I think maintained a real love and appreciation of sharing of knowledge, and that which is what libraries are all about. And it's because it's shifted with changes in technology, it's kept vibrant during all the years. So it's just lovely to see all the little kids coming in. It's just great. I love the fact personally that we have a very classical building downtown. I have visited and enjoy very much the Vancouver Library, and think that they've done some wonderful things there. It's absolutely one of my favorite modern buildings. The Seattle Library, just to share an impression, I do not like. This is the downtown Seattle Library, because you walk in and the first thing you see is technology. And personally, when I come in, I want to see books. Technology is important, but I mean, it's probably my age. But I really like the emphasis on books. It's I think, the real way to learn.
It's interesting because we were talking with the recent library director prior to this one, and she was talking about that decision with the downtown Central Library and how Seattle was, redoing their system in this really big way, and they made a really active decision to save that building, even though, of course it is very small relative to library sizes now, for its history, for its architecture, for its, for
wonderful.
Its character,
wonderful.
And it's a really... It's a very distinctive choice in relationship to Seattle, where and how this system developed you know, more into neighborhood.
Right.
And it's
right.
just interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very nice feel walking in there with those wonderful steps going
Isn't
up.
Isn't it ever? And I should say there are two libraries that are no longer functioning here in North Portland.
Huh.
One is over here right on Lombard. It's a hearing aid center or something like that on the south side.
That right off the, interstate?
It's between Interstate and Denver, I think.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's another one over right by the Twilight Room off of Portsmouth, just north of Lombard. That was the, I know the North Portland Community Center. It was attached to, I think, to St. Andrew's Episcopal Church or something. But that, both of those places were library branches when I was young. But of course, there was not this building.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was really glad they opened the Kenton branch, and it was, let me tell you, used actively right from the time it was opened. So, you know, it's fascinating when you think of the chance they took by opening into a whole new area,
mm-hmm.
and how well it was received by everyone in this area.
Yeah, how people like to have it close.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I think people
yes.
still like mm-hmm. to walk and bike and bus to their
right.
library.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you need to?
I can't think of anything. No, you've been absolutely delightful. Thank
well,
you.
Good. Well, obviously, I've loved the library. It's been part of my life the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing with
us
today.
You're very welcome. Well, thank you for doing the project.